If you turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7, the Apostle Paul told the young pastor Timothy to give attention to the public reading of Scripture. And I believe that one true element of Christian worship is the reading of Scripture, both the pronouncing of Scripture and the proclamation of Scripture. So it has always been my habit to read as much of the passage as I think is appropriate. I try to read whole chapters, and we're going to read this whole chapter. It's 26 verses, so it'll take about 3 or 4 minutes, but I believe we should read more Bible, not less. So if you would turn with me, please, to Joshua 7. We will have it on the screen, but I would encourage you to keep your Bible open to Joshua 7. It is my text, and I will remind you as you read it that this is the Word of God. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Therefore the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Bethaven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." So the men went up and spied out Ai. They returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up against Ai. Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are few." So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. So the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan, only to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and they will surround us and cut us off and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" So the Lord said to Joshua, "Rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Rise up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, 'There are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. In the morning, then, you shall come near by your tribes. It shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes by lot shall come near by families, and the family which the Lord take shall come near by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And it shall be that the one who is taken with the things, under the ban shall be burned with fire, he and all that belongs to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel." So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel near by tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah near, and he took the family of the Zerahites. And he brought the family of the Zerahites near, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. He brought his household near man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell him now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." So Achan answered Joshua and said, "Truly, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And behold, it was concealed in his tent with the silver underneath it. They took them from inside the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the sons of Israel. They poured them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the mantle, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, all that belonged to him, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones. They burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. They raised over him a great heap of stones that stands to this day. And the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Let's pray. Now, Lord, once again, we come to one of those parts of the Scriptures that makes us uncomfortable. Doesn't make for pleasant reading. It's not something that we readily like to think about. We saw last week in the story of the fall of Jericho this is what happens when sin runs its course. But we'll see this week that that's not just true among the nations, among the pagans, that is true among your people. When sin runs its course, it always leads to death and destruction. So Lord, I pray you'd open our eyes, speak to our hearts, our minds. We thank you that we have your word, and it's that which will instruct us this morning. I pray. Amen. We believe the Old Testament is as much a part of the Bible as the New Testament. We think that the Old Testament was written for our growth and comfort and challenge and warning, just as we believe the New Testament was. So we have been going through an Old Testament book, the Old Testament book of Joshua, and we're calling it Joshua Strong. And you can see our theme verse here: "Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So we're talking about being Joshua strong. And we've come to chapter 7, which I'm kind of making a part 2 of last week. Last week we saw the horrible results of sin when it runs its course. Sin always ends in death and destruction. This was horribly displayed by the fall of Jericho. After 400 years of God's patience, judgment fell swift and complete. Now, we kind of expect that with pagans, with unbelievers. The Amorites worshiped gods of their own creation. Their lives were testaments to perversion. In the end, they were cursed. Look at chapter 6, verse 26. Then Joshua said, "Then Joshua made them take an oath at that time, saying, 'Cursed before the Lord is the man who raises up and builds this city Jericho. With the loss of his firstborn, he shall lay its foundation. With the loss of his youngest son, he shall set up its gates.'" So the very land in which Jericho was situated on was even cursed. The people were cursed. When sin runs its course, it always leads to death and destruction. However, what about sin among God's people? Can it just slide? Does God turn a blind eye? Can we sin and get away with it? Well, we don't have to read far into our text to realize that something bad is brewing. We read that three-letter word that is huge when interpreting the Bible. And to find it immediately after chapter 6, verse 27, is even more shocking. Look at chapter 6, verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua. And that's the whole theme of our series, right? The Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land, but, I mean, things should be going great. Walls are falling down. The leader's reputation is growing. Victory is in the air. But what? But there's sin in the camp. There is sin among God's people. Look at verse 1. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully. The sons of Israel acted unfaithfully. And we have here in this chapter the story of Achan. His story is in sharp contrast with the Rahab story. We saw Rahab earlier. Here we see Achan. The Gentile, Rahab, acted by faith, obeyed the word of God, and was saved. Even while the people around her were perishing, she was saved by faith, being a Gentile, a non-Jewish person. She was an Amorite. Remember, they're cursed. They were reaping what they sowed. But yet, because of her faith, she was saved. So here's a Gentile woman acting by faith, obeying the word of God, and was saved. And now in this chapter, we have an Israelite man, Achan, acting unfaithfully and disobeyed the word of God, and he was lost. He was lost. Now, you'll notice, again, verse 1, but the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. Now, we saw this last week. God had declared certain things belonged to him, and they were not to take them. They were devoted to the Lord. They were under a ban, the ban being, you cannot have these. I've set these aside. Okay. Again, this wasn't a new thing. Turn back towards the front to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Here, of course, Moses is giving the law for a second time. Deuteronomy chapter 7. He says here in verse 22, now again, thinking about Canaan, thinking about the conquest, the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. Okay, it started with Jericho. They didn't declare war on the whole land of Canaan. They had to start somewhere, and God was going to remove those rebellious nations little by little. So it started with Jericho. You will not be able to put an end to them quickly, for the wild beasts would grow too numerous for you. So there's even a practical reason here. If they drove all the inhabitants out of the land would grow wild. Part of the gift that God was giving them through Canaan was they were going to enjoy the bounty of the land. Other people would have sowed the crops and raised the wildlife, raised the flocks and herds, and they would be able to take those as they moved a little by little in conquest. Now, but notice verse 25, Deuteronomy 7, 25. The graven images of their gods you are to burn with fire. You shall not covet their silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, or you will be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not bring an abomination into your house, and like it come under the ban. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is something banned. So this was old news. This was given by Moses before Joshua and before the crossing of the Jordan. They were not to take the things under the ban. Chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6. Joshua 6:17. the city was under the ban, and all that was in it belongs to the Lord. Verse 18. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them, and take some of the things under the ban, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and bring trouble on it. So, the instructions were clear. The word of God was clear. Do not take these things. They will corrupt you. They are abominable. Do not covet them. Do not take them. Do not keep them. Simple instructions. The issue in Joshua chapter 7 is disobedience to those commands. Disobedience to the word of God. The problem here in Joshua 7 isn't that, you know, it was a bad battle plan or they didn't pray about it enough. They didn't need God to tell them how to attack Ai. What they needed was to obey the word of God. And that's what's wrong here. They were guilty of disobeying God's clear command. We see here that one person's disobedience affects so many. We learn that one person's disobedience affects so many. Look at verse 5. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebrim and struck them down on the descent. So as they would turn their back and ran downhill, gave up the high ground, they could be picked off as they retreated. So the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So Achan, which will be revealed that he caused this, his sin not only affected himself, as we read, it affects his family, sadly. But according to verse 5, it also affected 36 other families. There were 36 other families who lost their husbands, their fathers, their sons, their brothers. It wasn't just that sin affected him, it's that his sin affected so many. 36 of his countrymen, 36 of his soldiers in arms, brothers in arms, were killed in a battle unnecessarily because of his sin. They lost their husbands and fathers. In fact, we'll see the whole nation suffered. The whole nation suffered a defeat in the land of victory. Now, preachers often look at this story, and I've certainly heard this, and I don't know, maybe guilty of it in past. I'm not sure. I didn't go back and check. I didn't want to know. But sometimes we look at this story and we say, well, part of the problem here is Joshua. Maybe Joshua got ahead of himself. Maybe his fame, remember in verse 27, maybe his fame went to his head. We don't read that he prayed about it. Maybe he didn't send enough men. Maybe he got cocky. But that is not what this story is about. That is not what this chapter is about. Now, I'll show you that. Look at verse 1. chapter 7, but the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Now notice, therefore the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. So there God is angry. Now you go down to verse 26. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that stands to this day, and the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. So you have bookends here. God gets angry. God is no longer angry. What solved that? It wasn't Joshua praying more. It wasn't a better battle plan. It was dealing with the sin of Achan. When it came to war, they knew what they needed to do. They knew how to do it. What was needed most, now listen, this is so important, what was needed most was to obey the word of God. Look at verse 11. Israel has sinned, and they also have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. Okay? They have sinned. They did not do as instructed. Now Achan's sin, of course, affected himself. Verse 15. And it shall be that the one who has taken the things under the ban shall be burned with fire, he and all that belongs to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel. Go down to verse 25. Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. Achan's sin affected himself. Verse 19. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. He was trying to hide his sin. This is what sin does to you. Here's what sin did to Achan. It made him deceitful. He tried to hide it. Verse 21. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, shekels in weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it. You see that? He tried to bury his sin. He tried to bury his sin. He became deceptive. He's trying to hide his sin. He was guilty of the sin of covetousness. Covetousness. He broke two of the Ten Commandments, not to covet and not to steal. He coveted what was not rightfully his, and he took it. He stole it. He tried to hide it. It made him deceitful. But again, look at verse 21, because it's so clearly laid out. It's such a clear warning to us. What happened here? What caused this? Verse 21, when I saw, okay, he saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them. He saw, he coveted, and he took them. He saw, he coveted, he took them. This is an age-old problem. In fact, this is the first sin. Look at Genesis 3:6. He saw, he took, he coveted, he took. Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a light to her eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she also gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Notice, she saw, she coveted, okay, it was desirable, and she took it. Saw, to see, to covet, to take. That's the original sin. Go to the book of James, chapter 1. It's still how many believers sin. Look at James chapter 1. Verse 13. James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Now notice, he saw, Eve saw. Here in James 1, where we see, we're tempted. Achan coveted. Eve found it desirable. In James 1, we lust after it. Achan took it. Eve took it. In James 1, it's called, it's conceived. We take it. We're tempted. We want it. We take it. And when it is finished, it brings forth death. That's Achan's sin. It's still what ruins so many Christians today. He saw, he coveted, he took. Now, go back to Joshua 7. And of course, you know, he confesses. Not like he had any choice. In fact, that's why we see here, he wasn't repented. He wasn't repentive. He got called out. That's vastly different. Confession and repentance is different. He confessed to his crime because he was chosen by Lot. I mean, I've said this so many times. When you read the scripture, put yourself in the story. Put yourself in Achan's place. He knows what he did. He's trying to hide it, right? And Joshua calls an assembly and says, well, we're going to find out where this sin is. And we're going to do it by lot. And God was controlling the lots. We don't do that nowadays, okay? But they did it by lot. And there's 12 tribes. And the first lot fell in the tribe of Judah. And Achan begins to sweat, right? And then he calls out verse 17. And he brought the family of Judah near, and out of the families of Judah, he took the family of the Zerahites. Again, Achan is beginning to feel the pressure. And he brought the family of the Zerahites near, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household near, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now, at this point, he couldn't do anything but confess. But that's not repentance. Getting caught and being sorry is not repentance. Being sorry before you're caught and repenting then and admitting then, that's repentance. He had plenty of opportunity to repent. I mean, again, you kind of visualize this story as, you know, the noose tightens. You know, I mean, at any point he could have said, wait, stop, don't, okay, I will admit it. But he didn't do that. He till the very last moment, he hoped somehow he was going to get away with it. To the very last moment, he thought, I might get away with this yet. Even, by the way, if it meant picking the wrong man. Your sin affects you. Your sin affects you. Well, we also hear Achan's sin affected his family. Now, this is tough here. I admit this. Verse 24. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the mantle, the bar of gold, that's the stuff that he stole, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, all that belonged to him, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. And all Israel stoned them. Them. That's hard. That's hard. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9 says that our sin often affects our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. That the effects of sin are passed down sometimes. We can ruin a whole generation by our sin. Achan ruined killed his family by his sin. By his sin. Now, it does appear, I will admit here, if you look at verse 21, it does appear that they were complicit in this. Look at verse 21. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent and the silver underneath it. You know, tents aren't that big. I think his family knew something was going on here, right? And maybe, again, I don't know. I can't say. But perhaps when they saw the gold and silver, they thought, well, we'll just keep our mouth shut too. But your sin affects your family. Your sin affects your family. Well, Achan's sin also affected his congregation. If you read the book of Joshua, you often find, and even referred to in the New Testament, that sometimes they are called the congregation in the wilderness. Or even in Canaan, look at Joshua 18:1. Joshua 18:1. Then the whole congregation of the sons of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh. So it affected his congregation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 for a New Testament context. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? This is what happened. His sin affected them all. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Therefore let us celebrate the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice or wickedness. Okay, again, leaven is clearly being used as a symbol of sin, malice, wickedness. Okay. I wrote in my letter not to associate with immoral people. Now notice, I did not at all mean the immoral people of this world. Okay. Or with the covetous or the swindlers or the idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. So he's not talking about unbelievers. This leaven is not talking about unbelievers. Actually, he says, verse 11, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother who is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or reveler or drunkard or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging others, outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. So our sin affects our church. Your sin affects your church. Achan's sin affected so many. It affected himself. It affected his family. It affected his church. And yes, the whole point of the story is it affected his nation. It affected his nation. Look at chapter 7, Joshua 7, 8. Oh Lord, what can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? It affected his whole nation. One man's sin. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We just read in the 1 Corinthians passage that it's not our job to go around judging outsiders, non-believers, non-Christians. It's our job, though, to take care of sin in the congregation, in the church. We have a tendency to want to point out the sins in our nation, right? But look what 1 Peter 4:17 says. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So let's face it, there's many of us who have a tendency to complain about the sins of our nation, which are many, and ignore the sins in our congregation. The Bible says deal with those sins first. Your sin affects your nation. Well, when it runs its course, always leads to trouble. In fact, Achan's very name means trouble. Joshua 7:25. Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." Look at verse 26. They raised over him a great heap of stones that stands to this day, the day that the author was still living, not necessarily today. And the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place shall be called the Valley of Achor, which means trouble. Okay, that's what the word means. Achan's name meant trouble. They called the place where he was stoned trouble. In fact, 1 Chronicles chapter 2, he's called the troubler of Israel. His sin caused trouble. However, through repentance and dealing with their sin, they were leaving their trouble behind them. Okay? They raised a great heap of stones and they called it the place of trouble. But then they moved on. Now, one last verse. Hosea. The minor prophets passed the Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Hosea chapter 2, this valley of Achor, this valley of trouble, is mentioned again. And I want you to notice how it's mentioned. Hosea 2:15. Then I will give her vineyards from there in the valley of Achor as a door of hope. As a door of hope. There is hope. You're saying, Pastor Greg, I sin. I sin all the time. There's hope. When sin runs its course, it leads to trouble. But there is hope. Christ forgives sin. Repent of your sin. Confess your sins to Him. Ask Him for forgiveness. There's hope. This isn't a hopeless message that, oh, I'm doomed because I know I've sinned. No, this is a hopeful message. Christ forgives those sins. Don't hide them. Don't conceal them. Don't try to bury them in your tent. Go to Christ to confess your sin. Enjoy the forgiveness that He offers. Christ is hope. Let's pray. Sad story, Lord. Achan's a sad story. But Lord, in our day, in our life, in our family, in our church, in our nation, there is hope. That hope is Jesus Christ, who died for those sins. He bore our sins on His cross. He purchased our forgiveness by the offering of His life, the shedding of His blood, His death on a tree. He bore our curse and offers us newness of life, forgiveness. But Lord, even as believers, if we continue to sin and hide it and let it fester, it reaps bad results. We know that. We must deal with it immediately, painfully. Confess it. Let the life of Christ that is in us through the Holy Spirit give us victory over it. So Lord, I would ask that each person examine their heart. I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they would deal with their sin before it's too late. If they're not believers in Christ, may they learn to experience the hope that Jesus offers. God, I'd be glad to share that with them. Lord, if we are believers, I pray that we would rejoice in the forgiveness that is freely given. I pray. Amen.